From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
You know, one of these days, we're going to have a behind the scenes on this podcast, and you'll see all the effort Kurt goes through to put this thing together. I mean, it's amazing.
Shit just doesn't work sometimes for, like, no reason, and it pisses me off.
Well, you got it all ready to go today, though, so we're ready to go. And the podcast, your weekly dose of, my God, somebody else is saying what it is, I think, is on the air here with Dale Carter's America. We thank Bob Watson for jumping on board. He is my State Farm agent, and he wants to be your State Farm agent. If State Farm is the brand that you know and trust, Bob Watson and his team are the team that you want behind you. Bob's been at this for 5 decades. In fact, on May 1st, he is celebrating his 50th anniversary right there at the office at 7th and Main in Blue Springs.
I'd say congratulations.
Yeah, he's got a food truck going and all that, and he wants you to come by and say hi. Even if you're not a Bob Watson client, if you're a listener of the podcast, a viewer of the podcast, make sure you go by and tell Bob Watson that you love the fact that he supports what we're doing on Dale Carter's America. Auto, home, life, he can take care of you. License in Missouri and Kansas, Bob Watson, State Farm Agent, 7th and Main in Blue Springs, 816-229-7878. As we start our big broadcast today, Kurt, tell them all the ways that they can be part of this so they never miss an episode.
Yes, absolutely. If you're watching this on video, that's the best way to check it out. We're on YouTube and Rumble. You can also find the audio-only version on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And joining the conversation, lots of stuff on Facebook, so we appreciate that.
All right. Next week is the big vote in Jackson County over the stadium issue. And my God, Kurt, are they a desperation point or what? I mean, I took this picture and I put it up on the Facebook page from my own house, right? On the very same day, I got two pieces of mail, one inserted in my door and the other one was in my mailbox. Can we show that?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up.
Okay. And what you're going to see, because this is all about whether the Royals should move downtown to the Crossroads or not. And we've talked about that on the podcast. We had Becky Nace on the podcast. What is the reason for moving the Royals away from the Truman Sports Complex? And I think we've gotten to the bottom of that. It's about John Sherman and his ability to, you know, build a hotel, conference center, whatever the case may be, on our backs. And I want to roll the train back here a little bit on this tax. This tax has not been there for the 50-plus years that the Truman Sports Complex has been there. It's relatively new. I can't remember the year that we voted on it, but it was basically, let's vote to upgrade the stadiums, Arrowhead and Kauffman Stadium. There were two separate votes. One vote was to upgrade the stadiums. That was $500 million, the 3/8 cents temporary tax to get that done. And there was a second question on a rolling roof between the two stadiums, and that one failed. So what passed was $500 million or $500 million to renovate the two stadiums. So that tax is set to expire. And so now what they're trying to sell you on is, well, there's no tax increase. It's just 3/8 cents for 40, 50 years down the line here. So again, this is about the Royals. I want you to look, if you're watching this, these are two pieces of mail you may well have gotten in Jackson County. The one on the left is the door hanger. Do you see the word Royals on there anywhere, Kurt?
It's all red. I can see that.
It says, vote yes to keep the Chiefs in Jackson County, because that's where we are. It's desperation time. They haven't sold you on this. So now it's like, well, if you don't vote yes, the Chiefs are going to leave.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. And your point about the language of it too is very important. It always says no new taxes. Keep the Royals, keep the Chiefs, which is dishonest at best, a lie at worst.
Very much, very much.
And then no new taxes, which is also dishonest at best, a lie at worst, because it is new taxes. It's extending a tax. So there's going to be more taxes, new taxes, you know, beyond what it would have been previously.
And again, for decades, we didn't have any county tax relative to this. They did fine on their own. And then it was like, okay, let's get the stadium improved. In fact, at that time, we were talking about hosting a Super Bowl in Kansas City. Had the rolling roof passed, we would have hosted a Super Bowl. But, you know, Jackson County voters, in their infinite wisdom, voted yes to improve the stadiums, no on the rolling roof. So no Super Bowl for Kansas City. I see this crap in the mail. And then I saw something really funny that I reposted. Maybe you've seen this meme as well. John Sherman, he's like the managing partner. He's not even the owner of the Royals.
Right.
He's got the biggest stake in it, but it's not a majority stake, right? And this is the GoFundMe for John Sherman. I don't want to spend my own money. I want you fools to give me yours.
You're not a nice person.
So that's where we are. The vote is next week, and in my gut, I think that's a no.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of support behind a no vote, certainly from us, and I've seen it from other people too. But the yes people are campaigning very hard. So we'll see what happens.
Spending a lot of money. Yeah. They've spent at least $2 million, and I'm with Frank White. If you got all that money to spend, you ought to be paying to put this on the ballot.
Right.
But that's another issue. So we'll see how it turns out. Last time I did vote for both. I voted for improving the stadiums because Truman Sports Complex, I think, is one of the best designed sports facilities in the country, and we needed to upgrade it. It needed to up its game. Do the Royals need to move to the Crossroads? I don't think so.
No.
And if they want to do it, find a way to pay for it. Okay, Royal Roofing and Solar. They are one of our proud sponsors here on the podcast. And boy, I saw something that Austin Watterson posted. It was an Evergy bill for $25.
I think it was actually negative $25.
Was it? Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was negative $25. It was a credit.
Yeah.
And that's one of the houses that they've done solar on, solarbyroyal.com. Now, you know, you hear me talking on the podcast about EVs and all this stuff. I'm an all-in energy guy. All in. Okay? Let's get everything working that's working. Coal, natural gas, you know, oil, gasoline, solar, wind, if it works. And if your house can be turned into a power generator and you can generate a negative Evergy bill, wouldn't you want to talk to them about that? Especially if you need a new roof, they can take care of both. 816-540-7057. Royal Roofing and Solar. You can get to the solar folks at solarbyroyal.com and the rest of it, royalcontractingkc.com. Glad to have them here on our podcast. 10,000 people a day turning 65 in this country. Most know little to nothing about Medicare. I can tell you as a 60-year-old, I wish we could speed that clock up a little bit because I can't wait to get my bill from KU Med for my little hospital stay.
Yeah. Your extended vacation?
Yeah. Hey, you know, one thing that changed from when I was 16 and in the hospital last, when you order food at the hospital, it's not whatever they bring you. They leave you a menu.
Oh, yeah.
And you order whatever you want whenever you want.
Yeah, we had that when we had my baby, too, the menu. Yeah. And then they probably didn't give this to you, but when you have a baby, they give you, like, the premier menu, like a complimentary item from the premier menu.
No, I did not get that.
And it was, you know, it was all right, but it was, like, salmon and shit like that. Yeah. So it's very fancy.
I got the catheter, though. That was fun.
Nice. Yeah. Was that on the menu, too?
Something I'd never had happen before, and now I've had it happen 5 times while in the hospital. Anyway, moving right along here.
Top 5 things you don't want to say publicly on a podcast. Number one.
Kirk and Lori will tell you all about Medicare Simplified KC and how Medicare can work for you to make it understandable and simple. Over the last 10 years, they've helped thousands of folks just like you understand Medicare and how it applied to their circumstances. Medicare's not one size fits all. You really need to sit down with these folks and get the answers, okay? And don't go to one of those seminars because most of the answers that they give you will not apply to you. You need one-on-one counseling through this, and Kirk and Lori can show you how to get that done. 3600 South Nolan Road in Independence. You can reach them on the phone at 816-701-6661 or on the web, very simple, MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. All right, I'm counting it down, Kurt. 222 days until Decision 2024.
Yep.
And again, it's a pretty, in my mind, pretty easy choice here. As Joe Biden is out campaigning, did you see this? He was in a Mexican restaurant out on the West Coast somewhere. And I swear there were like five people in this restaurant. Definitely not a Trump crowd. And his message was, Trump hates you. Yeah. Trump hates Hispanics.
I tried to find that exact quote. There was some similar quotes that I can pull up in the transcript, but this was the clip that was going viral from that.
Well, you know, I need you. I need you badly. I need the help. Kamala and I desperately need your help. Because, look, there's only about six or seven states that are going to determine the outcome of this election. They're toss-up states. This is one of them. And I made sure that, by the way, when I got elected, that I told you my campaign would look like America. My administration would look like America. We have, and I've followed through on that.
Well, yeah. You know. Well, we got an old man at the top there.
Yeah.
No question about that.
He's begging. He's begging for votes.
Well, he's begging for votes, and he's buying votes, too. Yeah. This is the latest $6 billion now in student loan debt for about 78,000 public service workers. The White House sent this out, the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. And if you got this, you even got an email signed by President Biden saying they're on track to get student loan forgiveness in less than a year.
Wow. Amazing.
God love you. And don't forget to vote, right? I mean, that's why don't they just throw that in there?
Yeah, the timing is probably just a coincidence, I'm sure.
I'm sure that's it. And the new tailpipe rule. I had heard that he was going to back off this a little bit, and maybe this does back off of it a little bit, but it means the majority of cars and light-duty trucks will have to either be hybrid or EV by 2032. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And again, this is why elections matter. This is why elections matter. Because we talk about three branches of government, executive, legislative, and judicial. There's four, really. You've got the executive branch over there with all these agencies that are making your life more and more difficult every day. Regulations just piled on top of regulations. And just know, and I know that there are some of you out there who think, I'm going to save the planet. I'm going to drive an EV. Well, if you're in Kansas City and you plug that sucker in, it's plugged into a coal-fired grid.
Yep.
So all you are doing is virtue signaling.
But Joe looks so happy here in this picture. He's like, come on, man. It's going on in there. And that electric, you know, it's going from the solar panels, man. Come on.
I thought this was interesting, though. The Democrat governor in Maine says no to his state's clean car push. Maine is very independent. You know, we vacationed there last year. A lot of great people in the state of Maine. And, they've got a Democrat for a governor. They do lean left on a lot of things because they're a, you know, don't get in my business kind of a state. Don't care who you sleep with, that kind of stuff. But you want to tell me what I got to drive? Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty rural people, you know, pretty, I think, conservative in sort of the traditional sense of the word, not necessarily politically, some of them, but they don't want to be told what to do, so.
And I don't want to be told what to do, so yeah. I'm right there with them. Now, Kurt, I know that you don't like what's going on over in Israel. You kind of equated, I think, to Ukraine and all that, and us giving money to folks in foreign wars and all that, but I want you to think about this from the standpoint of the state of Israel. Right? We have been their steadfast ally, much like Great Britain has been our steadfast ally over the centuries. We've been the steadfast ally to Israel, all the way back to 1948 when Harry Truman recognized it. We became the first major power in the world to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. So we are their 100% ally. So we, as they are dealing with a terrorist attack on October the 7th, and they have made a decision in their war cabinet that they're going to prosecute this thing to the fullest, that they're tired of all the bullshit that's coming out of Hamas. They're going to wipe them off the face of the earth, okay? So we, their ally, we go to the United Nations, and we sponsor a resolution for a ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that. I'm appalled by that. You know,
what's wrong with a ceasefire?
What's right with a ceasefire?
Well, it would depend. I mean, it would depend on the specifics of the negotiation, right? I mean,
they're not done yet.
Itself is not bad.
In their mind, they're not done yet. There are still Hamas folks there in Gaza who are a threat to the state of Israel. Now, Hamas would love a ceasefire. Oh, yeah, they would. We'll just fall back for a little bit, and then we'll get out of the news cycle. You'll forget all about us, and then we'll start lobbing missiles into Israel again. And Israel's done with that.
Right, but assuming that, you know, there could be an agreement that both sides could agree to, wouldn't it be better to have a ceasefire than to not have a ceasefire?
Would you negotiate with terrorists?
I mean, you know, that's what Trump would do as soon as he gets into office. He said it, you know, he would negotiate a ceasefire immediately. That's what he did in the past with a lot of the stuff in the Middle East, and I'm sure that's what he would do with Russia and Ukraine as well. He would get in there, he would say, okay, let's, you know, cut the bullshit and get something done and stop the war, you know. There's lots of innocent people dying.
I get that. There are innocent people dying. There were innocent people who died in Germany and Japan during World War II. And, you know, I thought it was ironic that the White House was honoring the Ghost Army survivors at the White House last week, and we lost the last Pearl Harbor survivor last week. I mean, you know, in the 1940s, there was no talk of a ceasefire. It was, we've got to get Hitler out of Berlin, and we're going to go all the way to Berlin. And they bombed the shit out of Germany. You should pull up some of those pictures. And mm-hmm. if that's not enough for you, we dropped two atomic bombs on Japan. How many civilians did we kill in order to save American service members and hand-to-hand fighting, which would have happened in Japan? I mean, war is an ugly business. It's very ugly. And when you've got an ally, and you've had an ally since 1948, you just, you know, you say, we back you. You've got to do what you've got to do for your safety. And they've dealt with this in an environment, in a geography, where everyone around them would like to see them wiped off the map. Now, to your point about Trump, electing Trump is going to change the math radically, because the first thing he's going to do is tell Iran to shove it up their ass. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's the catalyst for what happened in Israel, is how weak we are with Iran. He's going to get Putin on board, because the catalyst for Ukraine has been how weak we are with Vladimir Putin. The catalyst for what may happen in Taiwan is how weak we are with China. Do you get the trend here? We are weak in foreign policy.
Yeah.
So Trump would come in and be stronger in foreign policy, and yes, probably would end what's going on in Israel right now. But Israel's war cabinet, you know, and Schumer's on the floor of the Senate, and he's saying, you know, they need elections over there, and Netanyahu comes out and he says, well, Schumer doesn't understand how it works in Israel. I'm not running the show here. We have a war cabinet of both parties together, and we've made this decision for Israel. So if you vote me out, we're still going to prosecute this war. So they've got to do what they've got to do. And the United States ought to be ashamed for introducing a ceasefire measure in the United Nations. I'm ashamed. So we go forward from there. Stopgap spending bill. I'm ashamed of some Republicans today. And, you know, I just throw my hands up. It's like, why the hell do we have a majority in the House of Representatives if we're just going to spend another $1.2 trillion in pork? And you can go through this. Yes, it averted a government shutdown. But Democrats love bills like this. They don't want to have regular order. They don't want to do a budget and then spend that money. They want to have crisis after crisis after crisis, because what it allows them to do is jam through all this transgender bullshit that they want to jam through. And we just add it to the bottom line. We're cruising to $35 trillion in debt. When does the number get anybody's attention?
Yeah. There was some Twitter account, I forget where, I'm not going to look for it, but they were playing or showing old articles that was like, the U.S. federal debt is at $7 trillion. When are we going to talk about it? You know, it's unsustainable. You know, that was back in the 90s probably, or whenever it was.
Yeah, now it's five times that.
Yeah.
When are we going to start talking about it? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. And, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I thought this was kind of silly at the time, but who knows? I mean, she files a motion to vacate the chair, because after what we went through to get a Speaker of the House, now there is a rule in the House that only one member can come forward with a vacate the chair, and they've got to have a vote on it. And the Republican majority, I don't know if you followed this, is narrowing. I think it's down to one vote.
Yeah, there's been a couple guys that have retired or are saying they're leaving after the end of their term, right? Is that correct?
I think that's right. So, you know, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think she was just like spouting off. I don't think she followed through with this. She's pissed. I get why she's pissed. But who, if not Mike Johnson, who would be Speaker of the House?
Yeah, I mean, it would just start another prolonged fight that would lead to some other guy, you know. But, and I mean, I get it. I can kind of see both sides of it. You know, I mean, we need to deal with who we have, you know, and try and make the best of what we have. That's one side of it. You could have said the same thing about McCarthy, too.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, this Mike Johnson guy, he's been supporting big spending on, I mean, the whole border issue and the spending bill. You know, the first thing that they put into the spending bill was funding for Ukraine. That was like their top priority. And he was all on board with that. So that is a huge problem. And, you know, I would say the same thing for Israel funding, too. But that's a different story. Yeah. But, you know, I just think we need people who care about America first and putting our priorities like closing the border first above other countries.
Well, let's talk about the border, because I was really excited that the U.S. Supreme Court came out and said the Texas folks can enforce their border law. And then some circuit court jumped in afterwards and shut it down. So where does that even stand today? SB4 is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. This article is from a few days ago. This is from March 19th. Supreme Court permits Texas police to arrest people who illegally cross the border as the SB4 legal crash continues. Clash, excuse me.
Right.
But yeah, I hadn't heard about that part of the circuit court, so that's new.
It's just, I don't understand, you know, especially if you look at what happened in Russia over the weekend, right? ISIS terrorists went into like a concert hall, I guess, and just started blasting people, right? And I know that Tom Cotton from Arkansas was on television over the weekend saying that, hey, they're going to come after Americans and American embassies next. And I'm thinking, what about that civ we have on the southern border? Is anybody going to be surprised if we have a major event going on in this country? I don't know. The Final Four? A big Major League Baseball game with opening day coming up, and you got ISIS folks who have drifted through that southern border. They've caught some people on the terror watch list through the southern border who tried to sneak in. What about the people they haven't caught?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even not to get too dark and black-pilled about it, but, you know, we had a shooter at the, multiple shooters at the parade, the Chiefs parade, and that was just, you know, some low-level thugs who just got in a disagreement and took their guns out and started shooting. You know, what if it was actually like an organized attack? You know, a lot of people would be very vulnerable to something like that, because we don't take our security seriously as a country. So,
and Democrats will find a way to blame Donald Trump and Republicans for it.
Right.
You can bet, because the bipartisan bill that, to your point, was jammed up with money for Ukraine and Israel that wasn't really about the border. And if you got into the nits and the lice of it, you would see that it would allow 5,000 people a day to cross illegally. How does that tighten our border?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't tighten the border.
Yeah.
We got to get serious about this, and it's going to come with a change at the top. And if it doesn't come with a change at the top at the end of this election cycle, I'm not sure where this country goes.
Yeah, and I mean, that's another kind of black pill, too, is that you can change the president, but a lot of this stuff is kind of baked into the cake. You know, we talk about the deep state, we talk about Congress, we talk about the federal departments and agencies. I mean, even the Department of Homeland Security, the Border Patrol, things like that. I mean, it takes time. It's not like just one person electing a new president will change everything overnight. We saw that with Trump the first time. You know, he wasn't able to do everything that he said he was going to do.
Right.
And a big part of that was because of how much pushback he got from all these different organizations and different institutions. So obviously we still need to elect him as president, because it will change some things, if not a lot of things, but
well,
it'll
change
everything.
A lot on day one with executive orders, and and he can, with the right appointments, get that deep state in line, that fourth column that we talk about. Mm-hmm. He can do a lot toward getting that done, and he won't have to worry about running for re-election, so he can just get a lot of stuff done and not have to worry about it.
Right.
I want to correct the record on something that I said last week. Nobody called me out on this. I've heard the promo that you did for the podcast last week, and I made a mistake. This is not the first time in American history, or the second time in American history, that a former president will challenge the current president. We've mentioned Grover Cleveland, who did it and successfully did it and took his old job back. The one who did it unsuccessfully was Theodore Roosevelt. Mm. Roosevelt left the presidency. William Howard Taft was his chosen one. And then Taft gets in there and, you know, Roosevelt's like, I don't like what he's doing. I don't like that. And so Roosevelt is the reason we have Woodrow Wilson in the presidential lineup, because he ran as a third party candidate against his own party, against the Republican Party, and basically kept Taft from getting a second term as president. And then we got Woodrow Wilson out of it. So
gotta love a guy with a good mustache and a monocle.
Gotta love that.
Great look.
Blue Bloods is like one of my favorite shows. Tom Selleck, do you watch that on CBS?
No, never seen it.
Yeah, oh, it's a great show. You'd like it. I mean, you know, Tom Selleck, good rock rib Republican, and he's the police commissioner of New York, and he's always got our back, what we think about what's going on there. And he's got a big picture of Teddy Roosevelt with that monocle and the mustache hanging in his office. So there you go. Correcting the record for me. Nobody else caught it, but I caught it. And this will be the third time in American history that a former president has challenged the sitting president, and hopefully a better result than Teddy Roosevelt got around the turn of the century. Okay, we move on. Midwest GI Health is with us. And if you haven't had your colonoscopy yet, that's something you can control. When I got this skin infection that put me in the hospital, I didn't see that coming. That was like a left field turn. What you can see coming is colon cancer, and that's if you get screened. Get screened. If you're 45 or older, make your appointment with Dr. Mark Terramina and the wonderful folks at Midwest GI Health. They're in Lee's Summit. They can take care of everything you need. They can do the upper GI as well. They've got the entire tract covered. So get that appointment on your calendar and get screened. Colon cancer is a killer. If you don't catch it early, it will kill you. If you catch it early, it's treatable. That's the message that Dr. Mark Terramina wants you to know. You can reach them at the Lee Summit office there at 816-836-2200. That's 816-836-2200. They're on the web at MidwestGIHealth.com. If you know somebody who's 45 or approaching 45, get in their ear and say, have you had your screening yet? Because Dr. Mark Terramina is ready to get that done. And then, of course, you know, that comes with all the prep and everything. When you get out of that after taking your little nap on propofol, you're going to be hungry.
Yeah.
No better place to quench that hunger than at Funhouse Pizza in Lee's Summit and Blue Springs. Jim Dingman has been with us for the duration of this podcast, and he sent me this note. He was on Jasper Mirabile's deal. Did you see this?
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a radio show, right?
Yep. Chef Jasper Mirabile, and he had Funhouse Pizza on live from Jasper's kitchen and just singing the praises of the pizza that's piled high and the fun that comes along with Funhouse Pizza. Funhouse Pizza, a paradise of fun with entertainment options such as Thomas the Tank Engine rides, game rooms featuring air hockey and video games, some of the most cheerful counter help who make every visit special. That's from live from Jasper's Kitchen, his review of Funhouse Pizza, where he says every slice is a celebration, and they pile those toppings really high.
It's a nice tagline. I like that. Every slice is a celebration.
We got to get back on the calendar. I want to be back out there.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got a big fundraiser coming up for Shep's House. That's a big fundraiser that's important to Jim, so we'll be talking about that in the coming days here. All right, this and that from the political world. You got to love the brainiacs in the House of Representatives. You know, there's this old saying about not saying something, you know, because silence is better than stupidity.
Right.
And I think of AOC every time I hear that, because Tony Bobulinski was testifying in the Biden corruption hearing. This is a guy who is basically telling his side of the story, right? He's a veteran of the United States military. He's a really good stand-up guy, and he's gotten the shaft. And so he's telling his side of the story. He's in front of is this judiciary? How in the world did she get on a committee like that?
She's popular, man.
Yeah, AOC. AOC, you definitely want her to be your lawyer if you're a gangster.
No doubt. That'd be great. Here we go.
Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business
deal. Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO, and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir?
You
specifically.
You ask me to answer the question. I answered the question.
No.
RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse
statute.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse Mara. Me, sir. Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime.
Ooh.
It is a category.
Yeah.
What is the
category of crimes that you're then charged?
You have.
I love it when she gets her head bob thing going.
Yeah.
Because women, have you ever?
Excuse me,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. You can kind of do it. I can't.
Yeah.
I think women have like one fewer bone or something in their neck,
so
they can get that head thing
more
going.
Cartilage.
Excuse me, RICO is not a crime.
Yeah.
Well. She's obviously never watched The Sopranos.
I have.
And, you know, Trump's up on RICO charges in Georgia. Those ought to go away, right? RICO is not a crime.
Yeah. He should have brought that up. You know, if it's not a crime, what are you guys going after Trump for?
Yeah, exactly. So RICO is a crime. It's a whole category of crimes. And it explains a lot about where Biden got all this money from, a guy who, you know, was on the public dole from the time he was in his 20s to becoming a multimillionaire. I mean, that's a question we ought to ask once in a while, right? It's like, where did he get all of his money? We know where Trump got all of his money. Where did Joe Biden get all of his money? And how did he get it? And was it legal and all that?
Right.
So also from the hearing, this was Jessica Tarlov from The Five. She was blowing and going about how Tony Bobulinski was being funded by Trump lawyers. They had his legal bills. And you know what? You can say whatever you want about a public figure, right? And we could talk about whether that's right or wrong. But when you tell a lie, a blatant, bold-faced lie about a private citizen, they'll come after you. And Tony Bobulinski went after Fox News and said, you will either have Jessica Tarlov correct the record on the next episode of The Five, or we're going to sue you for a lot of money. So I'm sure legal pulled Jessica in and said, where are your facts on this? And she didn't have them.
So yeah, here's her apology.
I would like to clarify a comment I made yesterday during our discussion of Tony Bobulinski's appearance at the congressional hearing. During an exchange with my colleagues about the hearing, I said that Mr. Bobulinski's lawyer's fees have been paid by a Trump super PAC as recently as January. What was actually said during the hearing was that the law firm representing Mr. Bobulinski was paid by a Trump PAC. I have seen no indication those payments were made in connection with Mr. Bobulinski's legal fees, and he denies that they were. Coming up next,
just move right along.
Her perfunctory apology, but hey, at least they did it. And it just shows you that, you know, when you go after somebody in the private sector, you better have your facts right. You know, when I was running one of my campaigns for city council, Tony's Kansas City had an expose on me that said that, you know, I had a conflict of interest because I owned a piece of property in Jackson County that they were looking to redevelop. And I read that on Tony's Kansas City. And I'm like, what the hell are they smoking? I don't own anything outside of my house.
Mm.
So, you know, they go after people and you got to fight back. When there's a lie, you got to fight back. Speaking of speech, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, she is the Biden appointee to the Supreme Court. Again, the bargain that he made, he was going to have a black female vice president, and the first Supreme Court justice he could nominate was going to be a black female. And Ketanji Brown Jackson is the one that he appointed. And when we started this podcast, we took apart the Constitution, and then we talked about the amendments. I never thought I'd really have to explain the First Amendment, especially to a Supreme Court justice. Can you believe this?
Yeah, I listened to it, and I think it's pretty interesting. Let's check it out.
Justice Jackson?
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods.
And isn't that the point? That's what she says. It hamstrings the government. That is the point of the First Amendment.
Yeah, it's not a good look for sure. I'm going to continue the clip.
All right, go ahead.
What would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, you know, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
It's an interesting clip for a few reasons. I mean, the big mistake that she makes is phrasing it as the First Amendment versus the government. Like, it's hamstringing the government. That's obviously not conducive to the spirit of the First Amendment and the reason that it was written. So that's a terrible look. But she's talking in there about, you know, quote unquote, protecting kids from harmful content. And I'm not sure exactly what the hearing was about. But I mean, there is a case to be made for some of that. You know, right now there's in Texas, there's this big thing where they made the porn websites do age verification, and Pornhub backed out of Texas because they don't want age verification. And that was a government law. It's a government law in the state of Texas that says if you have, you know, mature content, you have to have age verification on your website, basically. So there is some role, you know, the First Amendment is not completely absolute. There are some things that, you know, are more harmful than others.
Right.
Some things that you can say, some things that you can't.
You can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater house. I mean, that's the old test for the First Amendment. But, you know, and to your point, when Republicans want to take books about, you know, transgenderism away
right.
from kindergartners, you know, the Democrats are out there saying book burning, book banning,
right?
Which is not true. It's just move it from here to here for the right. safety of children. But, you know, you go back to COVID when the government line was this, and if you got outside that, that's what we're talking about here.
Right.
That's where, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all that were pressured to remove content that did not agree with the government line, and that is a slippery slope.
Right. And you know that, I mean, based on her background, I'm kind of guessing here, but certainly, you know, people on the left, let's not use Justice Jackson, let's just say, you know, generically people on the left that talk about limiting hate speech and things like this, they're not talking about, you know, things that are truly harmful, like internet pornography for children, or, you know, communist, you know, propaganda or things like that, or Chinese propaganda, or, you know, whatever. They're talking about things that are not approved by our government institutions. They're talking about the anti-COVID, the anti-vaccine narratives. Mm-hmm. They're talking about, you know, people speaking about race in a way that's not approved by the state, you know. So it really is more of a difference in kind, not a difference in degree, because it is true. I mean, I think that the government, you could argue that the government has some role in saying, you know, what is allowed and what's not allowed. But the problem is that we're pushing the wrong narratives instead of the right narratives, you know. It's an interesting thing. I don't think she's necessarily totally wrong in the spirit of what she's saying, but she is wrong in practice, and she sounds terrible saying it, because she's saying that the government, you know, you're hamstringing the government with this whole First Amendment thing, which is crazy. But
and the government's trying to stay in power. Joe Biden is trying to stay in power. So they've got Donald Trump coming at them. And how are they attacking Donald Trump? Well, first of all, we told you earlier, he's out in front of Hispanics saying, you know, Trump hates you. When that's taken out of context. Trump hates illegals who are coming across the border and committing crimes. Those are the people that we hate. Those are the vermin that he's talking about. But again, Biden pulls that out of context, and he says, and he paints with a very broad brush, trying to get Hispanics on board. Okay, so if they can't hamstring him that way, they're going to hamstring him a different way. And lawfare has become kind of like the term these days. And by the time this podcast episode posts, Trump may or may not have the money that he needs, almost $500 million, to put basically an escrow so that he can appeal that ridiculous court case in New York. And you've got Letitia James, the attorney general in New York, licking her chops, man. She says she walks by 40 Wall Street every day and just just looks at it and just knows it. One day I'm going to take the keys of that place.
If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, then we will seek judgment enforcement mechanisms in court. And we will ask the judge to seize his assets.
Oh, we are prepared to make sure that the judgment is paid to New Yorkers. And yes, I look at 40 Wall Street each and every day.
Come on, man.
She's just breathless, man. I'm looking at 40 Wall Street. Why would anybody want to do business in the state of New York right now?
Yeah. Yeah, they'll come after you. I mean, I guess you could do business in New York if you're, lockstep in line with everything that they're pushing with the DEI stuff. And, you're not shaking the boat. You're not running for political office as a Republican, then you're probably fine. But, I mean, it's still super expensive to do business in New York.
It really is. And a lot of people are leaving New York. And, I don't know the business that Donald Trump is in, so this is going to be just a wild ass thing on my part of saying this out loud. But if I were Donald Trump, I would say, screw you, New York. I'm going to sell every property that I have here at a fire sale rate, and I'm moving Trump headquarters down to Florida. Screw you, New York.
Yeah. Well, he's got to get through his case first, though, right?
I guess. Yeah. So that's what I would do, but that's me. And Donald Trump is Donald Trump. I'm not one to give him advice very often, I suppose. I will give you this advice. If you are looking for a new home, Michael Schroer is the guy that you should be talking to. Real estate professional at Remax Heritage. You can find him on the web at michaelschroer.com, S-C-H-R-O-E-R. Michael Schroer. He's been around for a while, 35 years doing residential and commercial construction. He can find the right home for you. If it's your starter home, your forever home, maybe land to build your dream home on, or if you're like me and you're looking to downsize, he's the guy who can help you. He's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas, and he's a guy who thinks exactly like we do, common sense answers, common sense solutions for what's happening in this wild and wacky world. Michael Schroer is your real estate agent here in Kansas City. 816-783-5800. And again, on the web at michaelschroer.com. Kurt, if you're watching the video version of this, scrolling through some of the listings that he has, we'll get a little bit deeper into spring, and we'll have him on a guest spot here to talk about, where we are in the market right now. Because, regardless of where we are with rates, houses still are bought and sold.
Right.
It's all relative. If you get a high amount for your house, you're probably going to pay a high amount over here. You get a high rate here, you get a high rate there, low rate there, low rate there. So it's all relative. And Michael will be here soon to talk about what's going on in the market. In the insurance industry, this is kind of interesting. Bob Watson, of course, our Blue Springs State Farm agent, my State Farm agent for nearly 30 years. He's a great guy. I saw that State Farm is canceling people out in California because it's just such a train wreck out there. They can't afford to insure your homes anymore in California. We don't have that problem in Missouri and Kansas, and Bob Watson is your State Farm agent. Again, circle the date on your calendar. May 1st, he's going to have a food truck out front at 7th and Main in Blue Springs. It's a big party to celebrate Bob's 50th anniversary as a State Farm agent. And to the degree that he has any gray hair, I've probably given him some. My kids have probably given him some, but he's been a great resource through the years, helping us get through, licensing your kids. And you know what? Yours is just a baby, Kurt.
Yeah.
Won't be long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll go in a blink. You'll be teaching him how to drive, and then you'll be calling Bob Watson saying, hey, I got to get some car insurance for this kid, so help me out here. Auto, home, life, commercial insurance, licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. Bob Watson, a big part of Dale Carter's America.
Tremendous people.
We'll leave you with this. Vice President Harris was down in Puerto Rico, and I was watching the video of this, and they're playing this song, right? And she doesn't understand the language, and she's clapping right along with them, right? We got the video. This is why you need the video on stuff like this. So there's Vice President Harris. I don't know who the people are who are flanking her. Here's the song. Oh, yeah. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. And then they start singing, and she's like, what are they singing? What are they singing? They don't like you. They're making fun of you. Ah, okay. Just smile. Can I clap again? No, not going to clap anymore. I'm done with that. So they were trolling her in Puerto Rico, and she was clapping right along with
apparently, this is according to Colin Rugg on Twitter. The aide told her what they were saying. We want to know, Kamala, what did you come here for? We want to know. The vice president is here making history. We want to know what she thinks of the colony. Long live free Palestine and Haiti too.
All right.
So I guess they were protesting her. I don't know.
It was not a good look.
Yeah. For no, Kamala. She just wants to look cultured. You know, she wants to clap along and look cultured with the brown people singing to her.
And just remember, if you vote for Joe Biden this fall, that's who you're voting for.
Yep.
She will. If he wins, 100%. Don't you agree that she'll be the next president?
Yeah, it's over 50. Over 50%.
You're going over 50?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm going to say 90%. There's no way that Joe Biden makes it all the way to the end of that term.
Yeah.
So until next week with Kamala Harris and the clapping folks down there in Puerto Rico, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.